In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God engages us this morning through the counsel of St. Paul to the Corinthians, recorded in the 15th chapter of his first letter to them. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. How can the Apostle Paul sound so sure about that advice? Your labor is not in vain. How can he say, and how do we know, that the labor and effort of those who study here and teach here and administer here in this place is not really, after all, just in vain? Does not our experience of work and effort really suggest the opposite? Indeed, do we not have doubts as to whether anything we accomplish in any life context, let alone at this place, comes to much when all is said and done? One of the serendipitous things about packing up books in preparation for a move is you run across a volume that you had on your bookcase shelf and never really paid any attention to. And so these past couple of days, I have been reading a biography of Ludwig Wittgenstein, the Austrian logician and philosopher. And you thought you had a slow weekend. The author of the biography of Wittgenstein makes the point that especially in his early years, Wittgenstein was plagued by thoughts of suicide because of one thing. Because no matter how hard that great thinker thought and worked and labored, he could not solve a mathematical formula in Bertrand Russell's Principia Mathematica. And so he considered suicide. Can you imagine Paul's words really comforting him? Your labor is not in vain. Or at the more tragic level, how do Paul's remarks ring true for the Atlanta cancer researcher, ending his prominent career recently with the newspaper-reported statement, "When I get to heaven, if I get to heaven, I'm going to stand before the throne of God with a microscopic cancer cell in my hand and say, why, after all of my research and work and labor, couldn't I cure this?" Labor, not in vain. And yet, in the face of all the evidence of our own lives of what Samuel Johnson called the vanity of human wishes, the Apostle Paul does not echo for us this morning the preacher of Ecclesiastes in saying to us all is vanity. Rather, this morning, he boldly declares that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Frankly, if we just abandoned our pious pretenses for a moment, our initial response to that assertion might be, "Yeah, but he never went to seminary. He never spent hours reading massive dogmatic tomes. He's never tried to figure out a Veltz exam. He has never seen nights lost to study on data never to be encountered again. He never sat through endless faculty and committee meetings. He never stood in hospitals and cemeteries on vicarage when nothing you said seemed to change the outcome. Labor not in vain." Is Paul's faith, our faith, ignoring the facts? Is he practicing a little rhetorical bravado, swaggering for a moment before the steamroller of reality? If you remember, the apostle was not always so sure his labor was not in vain. You recall his earlier anxieties and fears over what he had been able to accomplish or not accomplish with the Thessalonians. That community had not been simple to organize. In fact, his missionary efforts provoked such an outcry that he was forced to leave. And he became worried, he tells us, that in his absence, new converts might abandon the church, and thus he sent Timothy to check out the situation. And Paul explained it to the Thessalonians with these words, "When I could bear it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and that our labor had been in vain." And so, Thessalonians, I was afraid my labor had been in vain. And in Corinthians, your labor is not in vain. Paul was called to proclaim the gospel, as we are. Paul was an apostle. Paul had encountered the risen Lord, but none of that forestalled the real anxiety that among the Thessalonians, his labor had been for nothing. And the task for preparing for pastoral ministry on this campus and the hard work of formation that that involves does not shield us in this community either, I suspect, from the anxiety that our labor is in vain. And so how do we go on, even when at the fairly soon close of the fall quarter, the excitement of a new year and all that that promises is already pretty well worn off? How do we go on when the everydayness of our routine dull the sense of urgency for ministry? When those books that seem so tantalizing when you bought them at the bookstore have become dry and tedious now that you've actually sat down to read them? How do you go on as faculty and staff for whom the challenges of new courses and scholarly demands occupy immense time and energy? How do returning students whose taste of ministry on vicarage may have induced a vocational uncertainty, or the fear that the church will not always be as affirming of you as pastors as it is of you as seminarians? How can any one of us here this morning embrace the strong declaration that in the Lord your labor is not in vain? How do we walk and not faint? How do we transition with the apostle from the evident anxiety of 1 Thessalonians to the calm confidence of 1 Corinthians? To be sure, in our culture, there are all sorts of paths offering to lead one from anxiety to confidence. And how much of this in an earlier age would have appealed to the Corinthians? I doubt that before Paul wrote to them, they had ever needed assurance that their labor was not in vain. After all, they had possessed the Spirit. How else could they boast of their new natures? They had all wisdom. Wittgenstein, eat your heart out. How else had they transcended what is material? TV program touched by an angel, they spoke in the tongues of angels. How could their work and faith possibly be in vain? But the apostle reminded them, as he reminds us, what the true gospel is all about. We can neither secure our labor nor our lives from vanity. Only God can do that. And God has chosen to do it only through a cross and an empty tomb. Paul's move from anxiety to assurance that in the Lord his labor was not in vain is not the delusion of a faith that is oblivious to life's problems. It is rather confidence in the God of the gospel who comes to live and die among us, the God who is no stranger to our anxieties and our doubts and our despair. The incarnation, the humanity, the words, the deeds, above all, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the secret of our strength. That's the secret of all of our lives. As Martin Luther commented on this text, God wants us to wake up and to strengthen us with this promise. Then we will not pay attention to the ingratitude, hate, envy, and contempt of the world. We will pay attention to him who says, "I am your God, just cling to me." In Christ, God promises to overcome all that would overcome us. That's his work. That's his labor. And thanks to him who overcomes all that overcame his crucified son, we know that in the Lord, our labor too will not be in vain. It will not, as the Greek literally reads, be empty. Even at its most tedious and ordinary and unrewarding, our lives and work in this place will not be in vain, for we labor in the things of Christ, his teaching, his compassion, his worship, and most assuredly, the proclamation of his forgiving love to all the world. We too then make the journey from anxiety to assurance with the apostle and with the faithful in every time and place, because when we least expect it, when there is no outward evidence for it, those who twist in agony with Christ on the cross and experience the power of the resurrection bring back the only word that can secure our labor. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this are not bad words for the last time that I'll be in this pulpit as president of this seminary. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor and mine is not in vain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.